they call us silverbacks.
To them, they have always been looking for ways on how to take this city back. So many think that Katrina did what the government didn't do, or couldn't do. Nobody had to leave New Orleans. Even with the flooding, nobody had to leave. Algiers didn't flood. Algiers, just this community, is bigger than San Francisco. Alright, so if you have 700,000 people living in San Francisco, and it's only 7 by 7 square miles, and Algiers, it equates 49 square miles. And Algiers is almost 80 square miles. We could have put just about, and we're only talking about 150,000 people. But we could have kept everyone right here. If that was what we wanted to do. We had, close to 20 schools over here. That could have housed people. And we only talking about Algiers. Gretna, parish right next to us, wouldn't allow blacks in. If we was all escaping the flooding together, when we'd have got to Gretna, only y'all would have been able to go into Gretna. I would have been turned around and told to go back into New Orleans.
Wow.
This happened in America. You don't hear nobody saying anything. And we have a so-called black man. Documented. 60 Minutes did a documentary on it. Vigilantes here, like I said, the only reason why Common Ground was founded is because of confrontation I had with vigilantes. I wouldn't have walked around that corner to see that what Reggie was saying was true. In the final Common Ground. Then if this elderly white lady wouldn't have came out on her porch, it wouldn't have been a Common Ground because I would be there. I would be maybe that third night person they killed. I do some on a daily basis that the average person they don't even know how to experience. Every day I see these same visionaries. That came from the Muslim state and the Klansmen that came in from all throughout Louisiana call themselves protecting white homes, white women from black men. Coming in there, raping all the women. That's what they say.
When we saw here on DVD, Welcome to Nolan, one of the guys in there was saying, if you had to shoot somebody, you had to shoot somebody. We saw him down there yesterday.
I see him every day. Because I live here. And believe it or not, I've been living in this community longer than most of them. I remember one time I used to have to keep a revolver right here at my back door, one at my front door, and I had 2 pump shotguns I used to have to keep in my home. I did that for at least all the way until General Honoré, who really is the one who brought all to this city. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not one that is naive to violence. I've been in shootouts with the police. I've served time on death row. I've been in prison riots. I've been in everything from knife fights to shootouts. And nothing prepared me for what I experienced doing it. Could have told me that this type of situation could happen in America. And that it would be legal.
Well, how long After Katrina, when the general came and put the order back in, how long was that?
Maybe about 2.5 weeks. It took Andrew Goodman to make them pick up the box. Andrew Goodman wouldn't have came down here and exposed it. They wouldn't have picked them up. And the reason why I'm saying this, the day after her show was broadcast, they picked up everybody. Everybody. Now, I know that they killed 19 people. Because of the 19 bodies that we got, it was just so sorry that we didn't have a camera.
They were shot down
by these vigilantes. Not only here, we were just trying to make it seem like those vigilantes was only operating in the Algiers. But it was, and especially Algiers Park. So it was only exposed over here. But we seeing those bodies in the Bywater. We seeing them in Carrollton. We seeing them in the Garden area. You know, we seeing them in the downtown area. You know, and we seeing them over here. You know, so, you know, we saw this and we seen how it was so easy to demonize us as all being criminal, because the majority of those who stayed in this city and did the rescues in the aftermath of Katrina was basically ex-offenders. And Algiers wasn't, I wouldn't say it wasn't 100 homes out of, and this is a community that in pre-Katrina had a population of about 71,000. I don't think it was 100 homes that was looted. Simply because of the fact of how people made sure that no homes was broken in. And those who was making sure, this was all ex-offenders. I know some that did it at rescue, as many as 300 people. And right now, can't even find a job. Ever since slavery, Algiers had been known for construction among African Americans. Everybody did construction work. After the hurricane, right before the hurricane, all of us had to get and start putting all our tools aside. If we survived, then we could go back to work. But it wasn't even offered a job. Right now, in the midst of this construction boom, with $1 billion worth of construction work going on in Algiers alone, unemployment here among African Americans is almost 30%. The average income of African American in the world is half that of white. Sharon Johnson, who was one of the co-founders of Thomas Brown, can't even find a job. One of the reasons that broke us up, can't find a job. She's still volunteering, basically, to work at the health plant. But she can't find a job. In the midst of a city that's in a construction boom. She, as the founder of an organization that has served more people than any other organization in the history of this nation, in the shorter period of time than which we've been in existence, can't even find a job. Almost got evicted out of our apartment because she couldn't come up with $600. Right now, the work that I'm doing with these ex-offenders, I'm working them 3 hours a day. And I have hundreds that want to work those 3 hours for $7. They're only making $21. Would you work for $21 a day for 3 hours? I mean, look, how can you live off of that?
And the visuals have to do this. Because here, when you come out of prison, they give you nothing. And you got to pay $52 a month to be on parole.
Really?
Yeah. They call it a parole supervision fee. You miss three payments, you go back to prison.
Back to the joint.
So they don't want you out in the first place. You're more used to them in prison where they make money from you. You're in the prison company.
Well, see, the Constitution never abolished slavery. You know? So as long as you have been duly convicted of a felony, you have a right to enslave.
How can private system ever work? You know, you put it out to companies you want to make money off of you. They're not interested in justice.
Well, you know, that's a Fortune 500. You know, prisons is what bankrupt California. Prisons is one of the things that is bankrupt in this nation.
So
you take non-violent offenders, put them in the most violent environment, punishing them. Not trying to rehabilitate them, but punishing them. And they expect them to come out to be non-violent.
Right.
Well, they be doing, we put them in an environment where we turn dogs into wolves. Right. We make them out of wolves. We make them out of that monster. And then we get so frightened, you know, but we create them.
Instead of giving these men jobs, instead of trying to turn them around, we put them basically in a situation,
a no-win situation.
Right. Right. It's a crime. What they're doing here in America.
So we don't, agree with yourself.
Look at it.
We're in danger of losing, of destroying life as we know it. If the rest of the world was as wasteful as we are, we would need at least about 5 planets. Since we don't have 5 planets, how can you tell these new emerging superpowers that they've got to live, their people got to live a substantial life? How can you tell China and India not to pollute by using fossil fuel and coal? How can you tell them that it's wrong and how harmful it is to the environment when we have been doing it for centuries?
Hillary Clinton said when she was in India, we made our mistakes when we were in our industrial revolution. You want to learn from our mistakes, not mistakes. America and Britain, they chose to pollute to get ahead. Yeah. And now they want to keep everybody else behind them.
I mean, we got to remember, we're still the same superpowers as telling the rest of the world. It's all right that we have weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah. We just can't have them. Yeah. We won't use them against anybody.
You but why do you have them? Uh-huh. We can get mad and everybody's all upside up with Iran from trying to get one nuclear weapon. Well, look how many we have. Man, we are doing something more diabolical than any other nation. And we don't even give a damn if we destroy our own.
Thank you.
Well,
there's been 13 countries have now signed up to be carbon neutral. Now, no footprint. By 2020,
America is not one of them.
They're nowhere near it. Yeah, maybe on the list, Pakistan. Yeah, Norway, Iceland, Costa Rica, New Zealand.
I'm gonna tell you, as a member of the Green Party, dear friend of mine in Los Angeles named Michael Feinstein.
Did you understand?
Michael, hooked me up. With a person named Ali.
Okay.
Alright,
so you guys
are going to
be alright?
Can't
mistake
that.
Yeah.
No, I told us what they're going to do. Here you have a city with 35 million people. One city, 35 million people. So they got to look for it. But we going to become this too. You know, I mean, aftermath of the dream, we had to dispose of
300,000 refrigerators, over 200,000 freezers, almost a million air conditioners. All three of them have one thing in common, that's the usage of Freon. Freon is known to create holes in the ozone layer. Matter of fact, the Patriot Act is what the regulator signing his name, waived all environmental laws and policies. It was all right to release that Freon in the atmosphere. Now you imagine all this is being released from one little centralized area. That much Freon. Then we go all beyond the Freon. New Orleans was flooded by millions, if not billions, of tons of water that was allowed to fester in this hot sun and turn toxic. We didn't drink this water in our haste to get it out of the city. We just pumped it out. When did we pump it? Back into the most fragile environments. Our lakes, our wetlands, and streams. Nobody's saying anything. We can't go on like this.
Is there any evidence of change for the rich people that are affected? And the rich people keep distancing themselves. You know? When the likes of these South Pacific Islands get bullied, you know, are there directors of Microsoft, Google, Exxon, Shell? Are they going to be that bothered? Not that affected.
I'm going to tell you this.
They classify us as refugees. We were the first example of climate refugees in America. And we seen the way we was treated.
Now this is what they want you to talk about, the G20, about environmental refugees. That'd be a perfect fit.
Thank you for the law. You have to. We got to do something. Because if you don't, like I said, we don't have another planet we can go on. What are we going to do? My greatest fear right now is that swine flu won't turn into a pandemic crisis. Because if it do, you can't tell me that the same people that denied me access to another part of America, fleeing a disaster, or deal with me on an equal basis. You can't tell me this. So again, if we don't do anything, that's what I love about. Because I'm going to tell you, if I was around this and fall down around with all African Americans, if you would have been doing this interview with me right now, it would have been in there. Yeah. The only thing that gives me hope about staying in this country is the volunteers that have came down, that have seen that no, we will not call into this belief. No, of race. We don't go and help people because we believe that this is the right thing to do. And that's what we see here. So this morning, I saw 400 predominantly white kids coming to our African-American community to help clean it up. You know what that do? To the racial divide? There you go. That's what they come around so great. That's why it needs to be sued. Because I truly believe that we have the solution. It didn't come from me. It came from people coming together, working as people. If we can do it here, we can do it anywhere. If we can overcome the forces that we had to overcome, we can overcome it anywhere. We didn't have the police looking at us, and other than as the enemy. We didn't have the army. The army came in here ready to kill us. When they came to raid my house, you know, they came here to kill us. They was telling me there wasn't any here with black militants. and we was doing our own looting, and I was selling all this ill-gotten gain from the side of my house. The Army, Blackwater Security, and the police, they came here to raid my house. The only reason why they did it is because they seen a set of blacks, they seen whites.
Yeah.
And they thought that we had the wrong address.
So again, we was
born out. Then they have someone like a Brandon Darby to come in, you know, and not to assist this city, but to literally destroy it. How many people you think call that number that I have or that post I have and I have from and complain about police corruption? What do you think happened to them when he turned that list over to the New Orleans police?
Yeah. That's sorted out.
I know what it did to our environmental program, but right now, if it wasn't for Brandon, New Orleans would be a clean city.
Exactly. Let me grab these guys. Hey, guys.